As the Hawaii International Film Festival reminds us, Hawaii has long been a filmmaker's chosen destination. For 100 years, in fact. It's easy to see why Hawaii can give you prehistoric, as in Jurassic Park, impossibly beautiful, as in South Pacific, can serve as the setting for anything from war to romance, and it often has. The newly released Hawaii Movie and Television book gives us a chance to review the many ways our island home has been used in the movies. Co-author Luis Reyes joins us by phone. Good morning, Luis.
Good morning, Chris. Aloha.
Aloha. Interesting topic, and it's an interesting topic particularly for you because in your work you've looked at the way people of different ethnic groups are portrayed in movies, right?
Correct. And I like to deal with different topics that no one else is dealing with, and I think the way Hawaii has been portrayed in the movies, I thought was a worthy topic, and Hawaii is a brand. It's known all over the world, especially through its movies and television shows.
Well, one of the things that is sort of emblematic of the way topics of interest to people in Hawaii are portrayed is the fact that our local hero, Charlie Chan, based on a real-life Honolulu police detective, was played in the movies by two German actors, right?
Austrian-American actors, yes.
Sidney Toler and what's his name? You know who I mean, anyway. But the idea that and the Japanese detective Mr. Moto was played by another German, Peter Lorre, and we've had trouble in movies past with sort of recognizing ethnicities, huh?
Yes, we have. I mean, it's just it's based on the American racism that permeated within America at that turn of the century, in the first half of the 20th century, and also it was just an accepted way of doing business at that time. I mean, there was only one Japanese star at that time, and that was in the silent days, and that was Seshu Hayakawa.
Yeah, a
who
huge
actually did a film in Hawaii called The Hidden Pearls that had nothing really to do with Hawaii, but it was about an island king, and they did shoot it in Hawaii in 1918.
Well, he was a huge star in silence, wasn't he?
Correct, and worldwide, because, again, in silent cinema was something, it was all visual, so the spoken word had yet come into play. And if you notice, a lot of the silent stars were actually very few, except for maybe Douglas Fairbanks, was American. Most of them, the biggest star of the silence was Charlie Chaplin. He was English.
And we had a taste for exotics like Hayakawa and of course, Valentino, too.
Correct. And Antonio Moreno, Hispanic actor. I mean, so yes. But bringing it back to Hawaii has long had a love affair with Hollywood and Hollywood with Hawaii, especially beginning with 1913 with The Shark God and Hawaiian Love, which was the first theatrical feature.
Yeah.
And it was done by a visiting traveling troupe. And a feature film in 1913 was only 10 minutes long.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's sort of, and that marks, so we're kind of at a centennial now. What do you think there's some obvious changes, but what do you think are the sort of the overview changes that have happened in that time?
Well, Hawaii's been at the forefront of technological advancements. I mean, think about it. In the sound era, one of the first sound films shot on location in Hawaii was, as you had mentioned, a Charlie Chan film called The Black Camel that was shot primarily on location in and around the Royal Hawaiian Hotel.
Hmm.
And then later on in 1950, you had the first color film that was shot in Hawaii, was a pagan love song that was shot on Kauai. And then a couple of years later, the first 3D movie, three-dimensional movie, one of the first, was a film called Miss Sadie Thompson that starred the fabulous, beautiful Rita Hayworth.
Mm-hmm.
And then a year prior to that, one of the most honored films, probably the most honored film in Hawaiian history, was From Here to Eternity that was shot largely on location around Waikiki and Schofield Barracks.
Famous locations to this day, yeah?
Yes, and I had a great opportunity to work with legendary local location managers, Stephanie and Randy Spangler, who helped me with the book in having a special chapter that is devoted to locations and how the average tourist or average movie aficionado can go to some of these locations that are still open to the public. And some like Schofield Barracks really remain relatively unchanged, especially the quadrangle where they shot the film from Here to Eternity, which is celebrating its 60th anniversary as Hawaii's most honored film via the Oscars.
There's a bar...
53.
There's a bar right outside Schofield that was the scene of the famous bar fight scene with Sinatra and Ernest Borgnine in that movie.
Correct. Correct. And it's still there.
Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Still serving booze, too.
Correct. Yeah, and then also Jurassic Park. I mean, Jurassic Park won an Oscar for its technical innovations and special achievements and visual. So, I mean, Hawaii has always been at the forefront of technical innovations and used it, you know, for movies from the beginning.
And tied in, obviously, with location shooting because we have the advantage of very consistent weather and scenery that can be adapted to just about any kind of exotic location, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have a Kualoa Ranch on Oahu that has served as a South Pacific Island Saipan for the Wind Talkers, and it also served as Africa for Tears of the Sun, and in the current Hawaii 5-0, it's also served as a backdrop for Korea and a few other places as well.
In the history of
Hawaii is very spectacular, plus it's part of the United States. It's close to the Hollywood production centers. I mean, even in the old days, it was still a 5-day boat ride up via Matson liner. And in those days, you could put all the equipment on a ship, including cars, and in 5 days, you'd be in Hawaii, you could start shooting a movie, which is what they did with Black Camel.
But, you know, back in those days, Luis, there was a lot of sort of naivete about a lot of things about Hawaii, and not just its ethnicities, among other things. And that certainly seems to be changing. You know, people who live here have been waiting for a long time for movies that realistically depicted the way we live here. And The Descendants was certainly hailed as a breakthrough in that regard, don't you think?
Yes, I think so. But I personally would have liked for the Descendants to have been about a native Hawaiian family.
Mm-hmm.
I think it did contribute, as you're right, about idea and the image and the ethnicities of Hawaii, and I think it came as close to as any movie that I've seen, because generally speaking, it's Hawaii is just usually used as an exotic backdrop, or doesn't go into the cultures and the history, except for a few films, you know, like Beyond Paradise or Picture Bride, or even though it was controversial, but Princess Kaiulani. So you do have productions that have focused on the Hawaiians to a certain extent.
That's an area where we could still use some growth, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And the book does spotlight some local, like I said, Hawaiian productions, such as Princess Kaiulani and Beyond Paradise and a few other films. And just wanted to, you know, let you know that right now Mutual Publishing has a pre-publication special offer.
We'll send that. We'll tell people about that, Luis. We've run out of time.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Thanks very much. Luis Reyes and Ed Rampell are the authors of the Hawaii Movie and Television book, which comes out this month from Mutual Publishing, and you can learn more at hpr2.org.